It's not that the kingdom of God is a thing to be possessed, but rather a relationship to be embraced, a life to be lived. So what is the true value that you give to the kingdom of God? What is the nature of your relationship with the King? Jesus, like the merchant in verse 45 of chapter 13, shows us just what he thinks about would-be citizens of his kingdom. Pearls without price. He gave up absolutely everything in order to purchase your life and mine with his blood, because we are precious and honored in God's sight, in order that we might have a place in his eternal kingdom. I know that this blood and sacrifice offends some, but I would ask, if it does, that you bear with the offense until you understand the full picture of the nature of God's love. Leslie Newbegin, the 20th century theologian and bishop of the church in South India, wrote, "We have to read every text in the context of the gospel itself, for it is the clue to our understanding scripture." Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." A young man I was speaking to the other week was offended that Jesus should take his punishment, bear the cost of his sin. He wanted to do that for himself. He was yet to understand the nature and effect of sin, and that God sets before us a choice of life and death. To understand this, you need to take your part by reading God's word for yourselves. But you also need the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, so that the eyes of your heart as well as your mind are opened to the truth. So in these verses 44 to 46 of Matthew 13, we see that we as individuals are without price in our value to God, and that the nature of his kingdom is such that the only response when we receive the revelation is to see it like inestimable treasure, but not the kind that we lock away for fear of losing it. Let me read you the story of Meng Zuying. When Meng Zuying fell seriously ill, doctors couldn't help her. She was told she didn't have long to live. So she set out on foot over the hills to the closest church. Here, someone gave her a Bible, and in it she found new hope. Meng Zuying's health improved. She became a Christian and started sharing her faith. Despite having work to do on her farm in rural China, Meng Zuying walked from house to house, village to village, to tell people what she had read in the Bible. She remembers telling one day 70 people about Jesus. She hosted gatherings in her small home. They grew and grew. Soon, 200 people were meeting there. "In the beginning, when I first opened the Bible, I read the words from 2 Kings, which said, 'I will add 15 years to your days.' That was 29 years ago, and I'm still here by God's grace," says Meng Zuying. "Today, through a single Bible in the hands of one woman, more than 1,000 people have come to faith, and several churches have been built. Life in the valley has changed," said Meng Zuying. "The whole village has become one family. Now we live in harmony with each other, and everyone loves the other." A treasure worth sharing. Jesus continues telling his disciples a further parable here in verses 47 and 48. We see that the kingdom of God is like a net. There are all kinds of nets for fishing, as I'm sure you're aware. But this is the only place in particular where this Greek word is used in the New Testament. It's a great dragnet, which drew in a larger haul of fishes. But I was also thinking of the inclusive nature of dragnets, which our police forces use in this part of the world when they're dragging a lake or a river or a pond. Everything gets into the net. Shopping trolleys, traffic cones, crates, old bicycles, you name it, and dragnet pulls it all in. Jesus teaching the method of the parables ends here in Matthew in an easy lesson which the experience of the disciples to this point would enable them to understand. As in the parable of the weeds, the main thoughts are first, the mingling of evil with good in the visible kingdom of God on earth. And secondly, the ultimate separation of the two, that each will receive according to the divine law of justice. The parable passes over the fact that the actual work of the kingdom, the casting of the net into a body of people in the world, may change, but the nature of the people that are taking in the mesh continues to be a motley collection of all sorts. To change the analogy from fish to diamonds, the container of the church holds rough as well as more polished diamonds. But note that those that remain bad or refuse to submit to the refining polishing of the Spirit are so in the end by the result of their own decision. The net gathers all into the grace and mercy of God, but that we might be changed, that some refuse to change, doesn't mean that the justice of God is impotent to separate out good from bad. As Alan reminded us last week, this teaching of the parables comes with an envelope of judgment, a reminder about how it will be at the end of the age, at the end of the world, before the kingdom of God is fully established in new creation. In his teaching, Jesus repeated this twice, here in verse 49 and earlier in verse 40. It's a picture of the severity of judgment when we believe that we can stand before a holy God on the basis of our own merits and think that we'll be acquitted because we really are nice people. Mark reminds us in his Gospel in chapter 10 and verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Today is a day in which the kingdom of God is netting people, a day for gathering all sorts. But the lesson in teaching disciples isn't quite finished. Here in verses 51-2, Jesus tags on another parable, not about the kingdom, but about disciples. Jesus asked, "Are you starting to get a handle on all this?" They answered, "Yes." He said, "Then you will see how every student well trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it." Generations under the age of 50, and maybe some of us older ones too, have a tendency to look for the latest, the new. And that is how many products are designed, so that a company can produce good sales year on year. Your desire for the latest. But let's be warned when it comes to the things of God. Jesus was encouraging the disciples not to reject the principle of truth found in Scripture. That's our Old Testament. In Jeremiah 6:16 we read, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. True teachers of God's kingdom display God's kingdom treasure for all to see. If Jesus' disciples have truly understood his teaching, this prepares them to teach others the values of the kingdom. Jesus expects his disciples to build both on the biblical teachings that have come before him, that's what we find in the Old Testament, and on his gospel of the kingdom as we read about it in the New, which clearly links to the Old. Because these disciples understand, they show that they have become the good soil of the earlier parable, those who have pressed in close enough to Jesus to know him. Some of you have been busy the last couple of weeks in your gardens. Some have been watching them grow out of control. And you've probably been using bags of soil improver, that's those who've been engaged with their gardens, or digging out the compost and spreading it on your flower beds or your vegetable patch. Like our gardens, if we are to yield a bountiful harvest, we're always going to need some soil improver. The question is, how much are we prepared to press in close to Jesus to get to grips what is simply good news? Perhaps the picture of the house owner with its storeroom doesn't quite work today. We have in some ways shed the responsibility of providing material things and a well-stocked pantry in the hope we can get all we need from the supermarket. Nevertheless, we all know from an intellectual perspective that we can only share from what we have experienced or know of God. That means we each need to press into what it means to live by faith, to give in faith, to trust implicitly in God's word, even to the extent that is counter to the wisdom of our culture and our generation. When Jesus has finished his teaching, well, he moved on from there. So it's time for many of us to move on. We've heard his teaching. But let's move on with praise to our God, from whom all blessings flow.